Hi, I'm Tim Peter, and welcome to Search Chat, Solo Segment's podcast dedicated to all things search, AI, and content marketing related. Who is Solo Segment? Well, we're a technology company focused on site search analytics and AI-driven content discovery to improve search results, increase customer satisfaction, and unlock revenue for your company. Solo Segment, make your search smarter. Learn more at solosegment.com. Today, Solo Segment CEO Steve Zaker and I talk about Marketing Tech Outlook naming Solo Segment to its top 10 marketing analytics solutions. We also talk about why analytics is great, but how marketers can put data to work next year. We look at why your B2B content marketing may not yet be ready for personalization. And we also talk about Google Discover and what that means for search as we go forward into 2019. Now sit back, relax, and get ready for Solo Segment Search Chat Episode 3, coming at you right now. Hey Steve, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, Tim. It's been busy for a Monday. Usually the Mondays kind of start off slow, but started off running today. So, but hey, you know. There are worse things, right?
What's that? What's that old story about? You know, when you're in the jungle, there are lions and there are gazelles. You know,
there you go. Right? Yes. Yes.
Every morning, it doesn't matter which one you are, but you know, you're waking up running, right?
Amen. Yes. So today was definitely a running one. How about yourself, Tim?
Pretty runny as well. Well, that's a terrible way to
say
that.
No.
There was a lot of running going on. How about that?
That sounds better.
There we go. Well, we had some really, really exciting news this past week. Marketing Tech Outlook named Solo Segment to its top 10 marketing analytics solutions alongside some great companies, including Tableau and Comscore and M-Sites and Fractal Analytics, and of course, many others. I mean, really, really good news there. So, you know,
cool.
Yeah, I thought that was really great news. And, you know, I guess the question I would have for you is, what do you think separates Solo Segment? You know, what really differentiates the product and what got us on the list?
Well, it's funny, you know, well, one, it wasn't a surprise to me because, of course, whenever they're doing these sorts of things, they contact you well in advance. And because it's print, it's even more in advance. So, you know, we got contacted by them about 6 months ago on this. So, and what's really interesting is the answer I would have given to that question 6 months ago is actually different from what I would say today. I think what sparked their interest 6 months ago was really the fact that we are unique in our point of view on what makes search successful. And, you know, when you look at any search, you know, and so we're not a search provider, right? We don't provide a search engine. We provide data about how well your search engine is doing. But when you look at any search engine platform, there's no data. There's no data about, is this more effective for humans who are using your search engine? So that's one gap that we address. And the second gap is if you're an analytics package, right? You know, Google Analytics, Adobe, I mean, even the analytics packages included in some search engines, they don't tell you how well is the search engine doing at delivering value. So I think, you know, back then that was a big differentiator for us. It kind of feels kind of weird to say 6 months ago was back then, but you know, these are what, you know, digital years and they go by quickly.
And we are running, right?
Yes, we are running indeed. So, so what really differentiated us back then was that whole data thing, right? Was do we have a different point of view on what makes search successful? And is that a valuable point of view? And I think that's what you see largely in the review and the article that they published for us, was that a differentiator. And so that's, I think, what captured their attention. But if I think about today, if we were to kind of rehave that conversation about what value does Solo Segment bring to the table, it would be very different because, data is table stakes, right? Data just gets you to the table to have the discussion. And what people are looking for now, what we've heard from our clients, from prospects, and have embedded in our product is, well, let's take that data and put it to work, right? Yeah. Let's take that data and use it to automate some of the, you know, kind of persistent problems that people are having that search managers are having in getting the search engine to work effectively. the persistent problems that visitors are experiencing, which inhibits them from progressing their journey and getting to the task or goal that they're trying to achieve. How can we put that data to work? And that I think is really the differentiation today. So it started with the data, but I think, you know, what we're looking at today is really how we put that data to work to make the whole search experience more effective.
Well, what I think is so exciting about that, for me anyway, I mean, you know, you mentioned Google Analytics, you mentioned other tools, and they're great tools and they're very good at the things that they do well, but they fall down in two categories. One is when we talk about search analytics specifically, you know, there's a lot of things. You tell a great story about, you know, when people click forward, and I think we've talked about it on the show before, but I think it's worth mentioning again. You know, when people click forward, they conduct a search, they go ahead and they click forward, they didn't get what they want, they go back, they click on another answer, or they refine the search and then click forward again, still don't get what they want, they leave. You know, most analytics packages, if you have Google Analytics set up correctly, will show that you had two searches and two page views, and thus it looks like everything worked out exactly the way it was supposed to. But really, right, you had one searcher who searched two different times, got two bad answers, and left and was unsatisfied. You know, so can you just talk a little bit about that and then how we take that data and do something really useful with it?
Yeah, so certainly getting the right measure of success is important, and clicks are a notoriously bad measure of success. They're a measure of activity, right? Something happened, but they give you no sense of what happened after the click, right? What was the interaction?
Did something good happen?
Exactly. And did something good happen from the visitor's perspective? Because some people measure, oh, did something good happen from our perspective? You know, did the search engine give a response? And did the page load? And there's lots of infrastructure metrics that really most humans don't care about. But regardless, you want that measure of, was the interaction with the following page successful? And the reason that's important is because, one, knowing that has some value, right? Did the question get answered? But more importantly, unlike clicks, you can put that success metric to work. One example, I was actually doing a demo for a prospect about 2 weeks ago. And we have a company we work with, Open Gear. You know, they've been kind enough to allow us to use their site to demo for prospective clients. And we were looking at some of the analytics on their website. And what was interesting was for the keyword that we were looking at, the number 7 link on the page was the most successful. That is to say, I think it was the first or second link on the page got some success, but number 7 was also kind of, you know, visitors saw that as the right answer.
Yeah.
But it's number 7 on the page. You know, it's well below the fold. A lot of your, you know, visitors aren't going to have the patience to go down there and click on that thing. And so, but if you know that, right, if you know that number 7 is the right answer, because not only did it get a click, but it got a click that had a success indicator next to it, right? And for us, it's
absolutely
a unique measure that we measure. Well, now you can do something with that, right? Feed that tidbit of data to your search engine index and tell the index, hey, that URL for that keyword, give it a very high relevancy score.
Yeah.
So that it forces that link up the page. And I know you have to be a bit of a search geek to understand what I just said, but regardless, knowing success data allows you to automate improvement, right? And it allows you to automate the movement of content on the search results page. So you are presenting the best content to a visitor for the question they ask and increasing the likelihood that that person's not going to exit. Because at the end of the day, if your site search experience is lousy, they're leaving. They're going back to Google.
Absolutely.
And you've heard me say it 100 times, right? Google is where your competitors live. Don't let people go back there.
So as I've heard you say many times, Steve, it's also like the situation where you don't need another report telling you what's not working, right? It's more about, can you use that data to actually power success? And that's something that I think is really exciting.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, when I first started working with the product, which we called Site Search Inspector, we're about to rebrand the whole product line. But when I first started looking at the analytics dashboard, I never really liked it. It wasn't sexy enough, right? It didn't have a user interface and all sorts of stuff that, but what's amazing is you're exactly right. Nobody wants a better report. They want the problem fixed. So that's when, you know, again, an aha moment for us was, let's put this data to work. Let's put it to work in the index. Let's put it to work in the UI so that the search experience is getting better. Do you still have to do some work? Do you have to, make sure that you have the right content? Do you have to make sure that, you know, you've got your titles and your snippets, you know, correct and accurate? Yeah, you bet. You still have to do that. But so often is the case that you have the right answer. It's just that it's not getting to the right level of visibility for visitors so that it can't be selected and so that those journeys can't progress. So make it visible, put the data to work.
Well, I think that's a perfect transition. You know, we had a post up on the Bizology blog this past week, written, as it happens, by me, which, you know, it's all about analytics is great, but how can marketers put data to work next year? And I think this is something that we overlook a lot as marketers. I think marketing professionals, I think technology professionals, you know, you have lots of reports, but how can we make the data actually go to work for us? And, you know, we talked about this a couple weeks ago in our Back to Basics show, just in terms of how you get started at putting data to work. But I would love to hear your thoughts, you know, in terms of what can people do to actually put their data to work as they move forward in 2019?
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is an intimidating subject for a lot of people, because especially when you hear vendors start talking about AI and machine learning, pixie dust, and text analytics and natural language processing and all that stuff. And we love to talk about that as well, but it doesn't have to start complex. And like many business problems, starting with something that you can get your arms around is kind of the most important thing, right? Which is, what is a business problem that's pressing and reasonable? Because in order to do something advanced, you generally want to, you know, test your skills, test your data, test your ability to actually do something critical. And so, yeah, start small. And I think this is, you know, something you've said a lot, which is the crawl, walk, run, right? Yeah. Start with something, you know, kind of, you know, simple. Demonstrate that you have the ability to solve problems, not only gaining some skills and experience, but gaining some confidence. Because I think a lot of our inability is we doubt that we'll be able to actually do something, and therefore we're not able to even begin, right? We get stuck, you know, deer in the headlights sort of thing.
Yeah, so totally.
So I think that's really important. But I mean, you've talked a lot about how starting small is critical, and that personalization, I think, is one of the areas that you've talked about in the past.
Well, it's funny because personalization is where a lot of folks want to go with this, but you know, you don't have the data all in the right place to do personalization. You don't have it all in the right format. You don't have, you know, you're not asking the right questions of the data, right? You haven't necessarily set up a data lake and know how to interrogate the data appropriately to start to say, okay, what are the correct factors? So yeah, I mean, we always talk about a crawl, walk, run. We always talk about start small. We always talk about an agile process where you take things where you can achieve success quickly, learn from those if they don't succeed, and then apply those learnings to get better as you go forward, right? It's this very iterative approach, very self-improving approach, because it just makes you better off in the long run.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting. One of our clients, it strikes me as I was thinking about this, one of our clients focused on search in their support area, right? Because they had a separate search engine for support. And it strikes me that that's probably an area that is very rich in the kinds of data, if you wanted to take a kind of a small into it, because people, when they're looking for support, are very willing to share, right? You know, here is the product that I have. Yeah. Here is how you could contact me. Here's where I'm, you know, so it strikes me that if there were an area where you'd want to begin to work, you know, many companies have custom search engines for that area. So from a search perspective, it's certainly an area to start. But it's also just generally an area where I think folks are eager to get help. And so they're willing to share data. So that is a place where, you know, if you wanted to put a kind of have a walled garden where you could do some experimentation, it might be in the support area. And of course, that from a marketer's perspective is a great place for an upsell or a cross sell, because, you know, folks are at the moment where, you know, especially if they've got something that's end of life or not working out how they expected it to work out, they might be open to have that sort of conversation.
Definitely. Definitely. Well, you know, it's funny. You brought up personalization a moment ago, and our good buddy, Mike Moran, who is a senior strategist for us and leads up our product insights, put together a really cool piece the other day for C-Suite Network about why your B2B content marketing isn't ready for personalization. You know, which, hey, go figure. That's the conversation we're having right now. Look at that. You'd think we almost planned these in advance, right?
Absolutely. Our editorial calendar is very rigid.
Absolutely. Very well thought out. You know, what are the things that keep people from being ready for personalization with their content and with their data and all the different pieces?
Yeah. You know, I think that a lot of our experience kind of in personalization or a lot of our initial thoughts are, gee, if I can do all this targeting for ads, right? I could target the heck on Facebook. I can target the heck out of LinkedIn. I can target the head of anywhere, right? You can buy data anywhere about, I want to talk to people who work at a company with more than 1,000 employees in the financial services industry, and you can really target that. So I think we learn this kind of misguided notion that, boy, if in our advertising, we can do a lot of targeting, in my walled garden of my site, I should be able to do a lot, you know, I should be able to do this better. That's not necessarily true because, you know, something that works in the macro, like if you want to target a 1,000 vice presidents of marketing at the Fortune 1000, well, there are, you know, 100,000 vice presidents of marketing there. And so the odds of any data provider having 1,000 names and telephone numbers and email addresses to help you target is very, very high, right? It might not be the exact companies you want to talk to, but that target audience is really easy to get at. But now you kind of come to your own website and you say, gee, when a vice president of marketing in the Fortune 1000 shows up, I want to present them with something interesting. Yep. Well, that presumes a couple of things. One, that you can identify those vice presidents of, you know, it's so that is tremendously difficult because it requires you to gather some information, either implicitly or explicitly, about the humans who are at your website. And it is possible to get some, you know, visitor ID information from third parties, but that data is generally low quality. You know, so again, unless you have a lot of traffic, you're not going to be able to get the sample set that's required for that information. You could, of course, offer some incentive, right, to have them give you that information, but again, tremendously difficult. So the first step is, you know, in your relatively small population of people coming to your site, how do you sample out the right visitor information? Tremendously difficult. And the second piece is then, of course, you want to, if you can do that, you want to present them with some content, right? The right content. And okay, so now is your content tag to, if I'm going to provide to a marketing executive a consideration piece about this product? And that then creates a matrix, persona and sales stage or whatever it is. Well, do you have content for every cell in that matrix, right? So do you have the right content and is it tagged and documented in a way that you can then make that on the fly presentation of the right content to the right persona at the right time? So content is kind of the second kind of real challenge. And then finally, having a measurement system that tells you whether or not it's working, right? So do you have the ability to say, yes, I'm identifying people correctly. Yes, I have the content for that. And when I marry those two things together and give the right piece of content to the right person, does it matter?
Yeah.
So you know, it really comes back to, do you have the data to identify the humans? Do you have enough data about your content so that you can marry, you know, present the right content at the right time? And then three, do you have a way of measuring whether it's working or not?
Makes total sense. Yeah. That makes total sense, Steve.
Yeah. Personalization is hard. To do it well, it's really hard.
Right. Well, it's funny, you know, in my past experience and experience we've run into with clients, you know, you raised a great point a moment ago of, do you have content for all the different types of people you're trying to reach?
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that we advise people all the time is, you know, put some economic value on those different segments, because, you know, the one problem with the right content to the right person at the right time in the right channel, et cetera, is that often it's not economically viable to create content for every single different person. So it's really more about the personas and more about where they are in the journey that you want to focus on, because that's where you're going to get your biggest lift and your biggest bang for the buck.
Exactly.
So yeah, it's a great point. It's really well made. You know, I do want to change gears. I know we're coming up, you know, here on the amount of time we like to dedicate for the show, but I do want to ask you one last question before we wrap up for the week. And that's, you know, there's big news on the SEO front. And obviously a lot of the things we do involves co-optimization and talking about search generally, not just site search. But, you know, just wanted to get your thoughts. There was a great article over on Search Engine Land all about optimizing for Google Discover and how people are interacting with content more and where they start the journey, you know. So just any thoughts you have or any insights you might want to provide about how people ought to be thinking about Google Discover and how they ought to be thinking about what they're doing with their content, you know, as they go forward into 2019.
There's kind of two things about Google Discover that are very interesting. The first is the user interface or the user experience, right? And I often think about those two things. It's the same thing practitioners would, you know, put me in the town square and burn me for heresy. but I think about those two things as the same thing. And so first, I think that Google is doing something very interesting with just how we experience search. You know, we've actually got a product coming up, hopefully first quarter it'll be launched, at least in a beta to a couple of clients, where we're also looking at that, right? Because search doesn't have to exist on a search engine results page, right? It can exist in other forms, right? So I think that's the first thing that they're doing, is they're bringing search to you in ways that you don't know it's search, right? You just know that it's, I have an interest in something. And some of those things that I have an interest in are things I didn't know I had an interest in, right? Because they've got all this data about you.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, we talk about that sometimes as the search you didn't know you needed.
Absolutely. Yep.
So I think that is really fascinating about Google Discover, is it is giving us search in a way that it's, I am living my life and I am getting information that I may need at this moment. And and so I think it's very interesting. I'm not sure it's the answer for kind of search user experience, but I think it's a very interesting answer. And I think there's going to be lots of experimentation, especially as, you know, the shift to mobile gets more and more aggressive and we live our lives more and more in small screens. How do you present something interesting that humans are going to want to interact with?
Well, you know, the line I always like, and I use it all the time. I don't know where I picked it up. I would credit it if I could, you know, but it's this idea that nobody wants a search engine. They want a find engine.
I love that.
Right. They want the answer to the question. And sometimes they want the answer before they even ask.
Exactly.
I think you're exactly right. I think it's very exciting what Google's doing with Discover. And I think it's very exciting what we're doing with the thing that's under the wraps right now. From that same perspective of answer the question behind the question. What is it that the customer wants, not just what did they ask you for? Yes. And that's very, very exciting from that perspective.
And I think the other thing that is interesting about Discover is now what's going on behind the scenes. And you've talked about this a lot. We recently were talking to a prospect about, actually, I guess we're talking to a prospect coming up this week about this. But it's the whole notion of kind of applied AI, right? How do you use AI as one of the big dials that is being turned on site search and or in this case, website search? But it's, you know, how do you, you know, increasingly use machines to kind of figure out the complexity of what the user needs at what at any given point in time, and use that as a, as one of the levers.
Absolutely. Well, I love all these examples. You know, there's some great searches you can do. You know, I love the searches like presidents' heads in rocks, where they at, right? That's a legitimate search that comes back with a legitimate answer, you know, I'm going to get in trouble for this one, but I'm going to say it anyway. You know, that politician who looks like a turtle. Nice. You know, these are searches you can put in there and get real answers for. Right. And I guarantee you, nobody on the part of, you know, Mount Rushmore, and nobody on the part of the politician in question went ahead and created a whole lot of content that talked about
that. Yeah, you bet.
But they're using AI, again, really intelligently to say, okay, but we know what you meant.
Yes.
Right? We know what you're trying to get at. And I think that's when we talk about search, when we talk about search today, when we talk about search next year, when we talk about search 2 years out, 3 years out, that's the really exciting thing in terms of getting to the core of what the customer's trying to get to. And, you know, that's how you're going to drive personalization. That's how you're going to use your data. That's how you're going to use search, at least from my perspective. I mean, any thoughts on that?
No, I think you're exactly right. I mean, I think that, search is going to be a very different animal very soon, I guess is the best way to think about it. And, you know, from an SEO and SEM perspective, it is going to change the behavior of marketers and how they create content and how they ensure that that content is the best answer. Because at the end of the day, right, that's what Google's trying to assess. Is this the best answer? Yeah. And so I think it's going to continue to heighten the importance of great content. And by the way, it's probably going to heighten the importance of making sure that you understand all the questions that your potential clients could ask so that you have the content to marry that. And I also think, again, coming back to this user experience that we see in Discover, it's really going to fundamentally change how we think about search results, because it's no longer the SERP, or the search engine results page, right? It is now a very different model. And I'm unsure how that translates into site search, because we have yet to see search platform vendors come up with anything better than a list of 10 links on a page.
I mean,
the most exciting stuff we see is, you know, a dynamic endless list of links, but it's nothing like, you know, what Google is doing as far as experience. So what's going to be interesting to see is that a place where the vendors are going to play a role, or is that a place where other companies are going to play a role? But regardless of how that plays out, you know, we'll be here to measure it, help companies drive more success.
That sounds like a great place to wrap up, Steve. that's really good stuff. Way to put a bow on it.
There you go. Huh?
Anything else you want to share before we sign off for this week?
No. I'm looking forward to kind of getting into the holidays. We've got some business to close between now and then, so it's going to be a busy end of the year, like most people who sell anything.
Of course.
I'm looking forward. I mean, this has really been an exciting year. I know we probably have one more podcast in us before the year wraps up, but it's interesting stuff is going on in the industry, and we're just happy to be a part of it.
Fantastic. Steve, thanks as ever for your time. Thank you to everybody for listening, and we'll talk to you in 2 weeks. Take care, everybody. Search Chat is brought to you by Solo Segment. Solo Segment focuses on site search analytics and AI-driven content discovery to improve search results, increase customer satisfaction, and unlock revenue for your company. Make your search better and learn more at solosegment.com. If you liked the show, please go ahead and subscribe to us. You can find our episodes at solosegment.com/podcast or on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Podcasts, or whatever your favorite podcatcher happens to be. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/solosegment, on Twitter using the Twitter handle @solosegment, or you can drop us an email at info@solosegment.com. Again, that's info@solosegment.com.
With that, my name is Tim Peter. I hope you have a great rest of the week, and we'll look forward to talking with you next time on Search Chat. Take care, everybody.